Well, let's turn again, please, to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, we'll read here the last line of verse 19 and verse 20. The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Dear congregation, things are looking up for Naomi and Ruth. The sun is rising on a better day. They're back in the promised land, in the land where God is known and worshipped. It's the beginning of barley harvest. And when Ruth returns at the end of that first day, can you imagine the astonishment that Naomi has as she sees Ruth with so much barley, this really heavy sack of grain on her back. But what we need to notice, as we began to see last time, is that the more Ruth learns of who Boaz is, the more beautiful and brighter the day becomes. So it is with the sinner saved by grace, one who comes to trust under the wings of the Lord. The more they learn of who Jesus Christ is, what Jesus Christ has done, the brighter, we would say, spiritually, their day becomes. The path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. And really, I think what the great truth that comes to us in the second part of chapter 2, especially when you start looking at Naomi and the change that you see in Naomi, is this. It is especially the revelation that Christ is able to redeem, that gives hope to the weary soul. It is especially the revelation that Christ is able to redeem that gives hope to the weary soul. So we're looking at Boaz, and we're asking, what kind of a man is Boaz? The more we learn of him, the brighter the day becomes. What kind of a man is he? Well, Boaz, we began to see this last time, he is a kind man. But here we also have, he is a kinsman. One letter difference, kind and kins. He is a kind man and he is a kinsman. We want to see these two things as it progresses here through this chapter. Firstly, again, Boaz is a kind man. As we said, we did begin to see this last time. He was kind and courteous to his workers. He's a good and a godly man. He's kind to Ruth. He speaks friendly to her. My daughter, he says. He helps her. He respects her. He protects her. He provides for her. He gives her an abundance of food and water. He is a kind man. He is a proper man. And we may as well mention it here too, because it's this, that the beautiful and the beautiful faith and godliness of Ruth is also clear here. She believed God would provide. And then she went and did a hard day's work. So for Ruth, faith was not simply something in her head. It was not simply an intellectual thing. But her faith and her belief in God and her trust under his wings also led her to action. Ruth teaches us that if we are able to work, we should work. Ruth does not expect a free hand-me-down. Ruth is the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. She works diligently and willingly with her hands. She brings in food from afar. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she will rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Well, young men, as you seek a marriage partner, you should be seeking someone like Ruth. Young ladies, as you seek a marriage partner, you should be seeking for someone like Boaz. The kinds of traits and things you see, but above all this, their godliness. That they are. This is a godly man and this is a godly woman. I think we can also say from this passage, it's your wisdom to follow Ruth's example by speaking to your parents and by listening to their advice. That's certainly here. And outside your salvation, who you marry is the greatest decision you can make. And it's especially important in this decision for young ladies and young men to seek advice and to listen to the advice of your parents. Your parents are people who love you more. They know you more. They've lived a lot longer. They have wisdom and discernment. No, they're not perfect, but the Bible calls us to listen. My son, listen to the instruction of a father. And daughters, give attention to the advice of your mother. You see it here, don't you? If you look at verse 19, Naomi, when Ruth comes home, there's this relationship where they're asking questions, or Naomi's asking questions of Ruth. Where did you glean today? Now, I know it's a statement of surprise at the amount that she has, but nevertheless, there's this question, where did you glean today? Where did you work today? And she's asking Ruth about her day's work, as it were. And Naomi then gives advice. She says, don't glean in other fields. Don't go where these other people are. Stay in this field. These are not good options. This is. Verse 21 is somewhat interesting. I'm not totally sure about this, but I'll give it to you for your own thought. Ruth says that Boaz told her to keep fast by his young men. But at least in reading this passage, that's not what Boaz said. He told her to stay close by the maidens. But anyhow, Naomi says, here's the advice, verse 22, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maidens. And that's what she does. She takes the advice. She follows the advice. And then also in 19 and 20, you find Naomi giving her blessing. And that is something that is absolutely essential, to have not the toleration of your parents' will or of your parents, but the blessing. Two times Naomi says in 19 and 20, blessed be he of the Lord. So Ruth this man has the blessing of Naomi. Well, that is an aside, but let's come back here then to look at Boaz's kindness. Because I want to notice something about this kindness. It's not just any kindness. There are many kind people, but there's something particular about this kindness, and it's this. Boaz has kindness that is motivated by love for God and love for his law. Boaz has kindness that is motivated by love for God and love for his law. In the words of James, Boaz is not just a hearer of the law, he's also a doer of it. We saw last time that the law required you to leave some of the harvest behind. If you forget something in the field, don't go back for it. Leave it there for the poor and the fatherless and for the widow. But remember, this is the time of the judges. And in the time of the judges, we know that everyone is doing what is right in his own eyes. And really then is very similar to our own day. The law in itself doesn't make people good. We read the law every week, but we don't believe that therefore everyone in here is keeping the law perfectly throughout the week. Simply hearing the law is not enough. It doesn't make people good or even moral. I'm sure there were plenty of people at this time who knew what Deuteronomy 24 said about leaving food for the widow and for the stranger and for the fatherless. And yet they were either thinking or saying, I'm not leaving this behind. I've worked hard for this. And times have been hard. And this Naomi, it was her fault that she went off to Moab. And this Moabite girl, why should we give her food? The food we leave is for, it's not for her. But Boaz is different. Boaz stands out as someone who is keeping the law of God. He has freely received mercy from God, and now he is freely giving. We believe that Boaz was happier in giving to Ruth than Ruth was in receiving from Boaz. And you see Boaz here, you see very clearly, it's not just the letter of the law. He has the spirit of the law. It's a spirit that's motivated by love. And you see that in the way he goes over and above. He is doing exceeding abundantly above what is asked or sought. Ruth simply asked permission to glean in his fields. But at the end of the day, she is feasting at his table, far more than she could have ever expected. And Ruth comes home with an ephah of barley, a very heavy sack. As one man said, that Ian Duguid, the commentator, says, the bag she brought home was the size of a colossal bag of dog food. She must have been a very, very strong too, but she's carrying this really large bag of barley. And so Boaz then, he has great wealth, but he has a large heart, as we would say, freely to the needy lending. And no excess, he asks again, and the innocent befriending. He desires not praise of men. And this really, this ought to convict. Are we doers of the law and not just hearers? We hear it every Lord's Day, and it's good to hear the law. But are we doers of the law? And what about in relation to the poor and the lonely? Now, yes, we live in different times, but we still have poor. We have people who are lonely. And we say, well, yes, we should help the poor. We should befriend the lonely. But the question is, do we help the poor? Do we befriend the lonely? Do we look out for and help the people that are sticking out as being different, the ones that don't fit in? Do we speak to them? Do we make time for them and help them? Do we welcome them? And as we speak of conviction, I think we can speak of commendation, that this is what many of you here do to your credit. When you think about the refugees who come into our country, the aliens, what do we think about them? That's what Ruth was. She was an alien, somebody from the outside, someone who was coming in. Do we complain about those who are in, or do we welcome? Would we say, why are you here? Or would we say, welcome here? So Boaz is kind. But it's kindness that is motivated by love for God and love for his law. But there's something else about Boaz's kindness I want us to see, because Naomi sees it. Look again at verse 20. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Now that word kindness, we've seen this word already. It's the Hebrew word hesed, or loving kindness. It's not just kindness in a general way. It's kindness that has covenant faithfulness, covenant loyalty behind it. Maybe the most important Old Testament word. And this kindness that she sees is something, notice, that begins to soften her heart. When she sees the barley in Ruth's back, when she hears from Ruth of this wonderful kindness, covenant kindness of this man, Naomi begins to interpret the events. She sees what's happening, and she understands it. Ruth most likely doesn't, at least not in the way Naomi does here. Naomi begins to interpret for Ruth, this is what is happening. This is no ordinary kindness. This is loving kindness. This is the loving kindness of God, of the Lord. But just as an aside here, younger people, you need to spend time with older Christians, because older Christians can see things. They can interpret providence. They can interpret, as it were, the scriptures and providence and help you understand the ways of the Lord and the dealings of the Lord. And here, Naomi, that's what she's doing. Blessed be he of the Lord who has not left off his kindness. And the question people ask is, well, who is the who? Is it the Lord or is it Boaz? And really, it's both. It's the Lord through Boaz. The Lord who has not left off his kindness. Now, when you think of Naomi, when she says that, that is exactly what she did, and Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion all these years ago. They left off kindness. They were unfaithful. They left the land. They lost the land. They broke covenant with God. And they lost everything. They lost, some of them, their lives, but they lost the name, they lost the inheritance, they lost the place in the land. They lost everything. But what a wonder this becomes to Naomi when suddenly she realizes, I have lost everything. I have not been faithful. But the Lord has not left off loving kindness. Psalm 89, the Lord says, if they break my laws, if they go astray, I will visit their sins with chastisement, but I will not break my loving kindness, and I will not break my covenant, and I will not take my loving kindness from them. That's what Naomi begins to see here as she looks out onto the fields of Boaz. Loving kindness. The ephah of barley is a first fruit of the harvest of loving kindness. This is what I'm seeing, this is what I'm hearing, Naomi says. This is how I interpret it. Loving kindness. And it melts her. The chapter before had ended with bitterness. Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. I'm bitter. But now in 19 and 20, verses 19 and 20, she's saying, blessed. We've gone from bitterness to blessedness. And what's in between? The loving kindness of the Lord and of Boaz. Dear friend, that is what will bring you from bitterness to blessedness. The loving kindness of the Lord. It melts her. That, my dear friend, is what you need to hear in the fields of Boaz and the means of grace. When you come to church, you should come out of church saying, oh, what a wonder. I have broken covenant, but God has not left off loving kindness. Yes, and here you will hear of sin and misery and the broken law and the guilt and the transgression and the sin and our lostness in Adam and our loss of everything. But you will also hear this. The Lord has not left off loving kindness. You will hear of the forgiveness of sin. You will hear of the faithfulness of God. You will hear of the love of Christ. And if you don't hear of loving kindness in the fields of Boaz in your own church, there is something terribly wrong. Don't you know it in your own hearts when you hear of the loving kindness of Christ, how it melts? when you hear the gospel that there is food for the hungry. Through this one who gave his life, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. The faithfulness of the Savior, how freely he gives, how fully he gives, that all things are yours in him. Does it not melt? Have you ever had that melting of heart when you see his loving kindness? It's so beautiful, really, isn't it? But here, Naomi, then, she's able to interpret it, or she begins to interpret it, at least. She sees what's happening. You can see her eyes light up. I can see what the Lord is doing. I can see what Boaz is doing. Boaz! Don't you know who Boaz is? Ruth says, oh, he's a kind man. Naomi says, yes, he's a kind man, but he's a kinsman. Secondly, he is a kinsman. Now just, if we step back here and assess the situation, we say again, well, things are a lot better. They're in a good place, we would think, wouldn't we? They've lots of food. They've received so much kindness. But is it not still true that the greatest need that Ruth and Naomi have is still not met? They'd received so much wonderful kindness. But notice how the chapter ends at the end of 23. Why tell us this? Ruth dwelt with her mother-in-law. That seems, well, that's obvious. Of course she dwelt. That's where she is. That's where she's been dwelling for the last 10 plus years. Of course she dwells with her mother-in-law. Why tell us that? Isn't it a reminder to us that Ruth still has no husband? Still no sons? Still no name? Still no inheritance? Still no place, at least officially, here in the promised land? Let's think of ourselves, of you. It's not enough, you know, to receive all the good things of this life. It's not enough to have the American dream. Really, we can have everything in this great land of opportunity, and yet your greatest need is not met. Think of your own life. You grow up. You do well at school. Do well in college, you transition well to work, get a good job, house, home, car, family, children, if the Lord gives that. And you would say, well, life is good, but you can have all that, can't you? And maybe that's you this here today. And yet your deepest, most spiritual need is not met. What about your great need of forgiveness? What about your great need of mercy? What about your great need of a hope for the world to come? What about your need for peace of conscience? What about your need for the way to heaven to be opened up to you? What about your need for a redeemer? That's what Ruth needs. That's what you need. It's what I need. And really, everything in chapter 1 and even up to this point has all been saying, this is the message written over it all, you need a redeemer. You've lost everything in Adam. You need a redeemer. But you see, what Naomi is starting to see now and what is coming into focus now is this. Not only do we need a redeemer, there is a redeemer. That's what lit up her eyes. That's what softened her heart. Yes, there was kindness, and that was auspicious, but it is especially the revelation that Christ is able to redeem that gives hope to the weary soul. And here in this chapter, we have from the beginning a narrowing in, a zooming in, a focusing in on the fact that Boaz is a redeemer. He's a kind man, he's a gracious man, he's a law-keeping man, but he's more than that. There's something else. Verse 1, Naomi had a kinsman. And the word in Hebrew there is really the word for a friend or an acquaintance, somebody you know. Job speaks about his familiar friends, same word. The psalm keeps speaking about my acquaintance. It's an acquaintance. Naomi had a familiar friend, an acquaintance. But at the end of verse 3, we're told he was of the kindred of Boaz. Now that word kindred, different word, is usually the word for family. So he's not just an acquaintance, he's part of the family, the tribe or the clan. We might say he has the same surname, where yes, there's a relation here. But verse 20 now, we read, the man is near of kin. Now that word speaks of someone who is in a close relationship with, a close relative. We're getting closer, not just an acquaintance, not just somebody in the same family tree, but someone who's closely related. But the next word in verse 20, the man is near of kin, one of our next kinsmen. That word is the word Goel. That is the word for the near kinsman, the redeemer. The redeemer. The one who delivers. The one who can buy back what is lost. And so you see this narrowing in this chapter on Boaz. And the more we learn of Boaz, the brighter the day becomes. And the more you learn of Christ, the brighter spiritually your day will become. You can say, yes, he is kind. He is godly, yes. He is the man who is God's fellow. But when you start to see that he is close to us, he is a kinsman, he is a redeemer. Oh, how this sheds light upon your soul. What does a redeemer do? We don't have time for this, but you can read Leviticus 25 later, and you'll see there the duties of a redeemer. Again, this is in the law. This is the requirements of the redeemer. And if a family member was going to be sold into slavery, the redeemer could, and in certain cases ought, to buy them back, assuming he has the means to do so and the wealth to do so. And then we learn of Boaz too. He's a mighty man. He has lots of wealth. But the kinsman redeemer should, and in certain cases, or could, and in certain cases should, marry a widow to raise up children so that a brother's name would not die out. Ruth, if we just flick forward to Ruth chapter 4, verse 5, we really have a summary of this in what Boaz ends up saying to the one who's nearest of kin. What day you buy the field of the hand of Naomi, there's the inheritance that's being bought back, the land. You must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And this truth that Boaz is a redeemer is what floods light into Naomi's soul because of who he is and what he is like. Now, I think it's good to know here at this point that there are ways out for Boaz in this situation. There are loopholes, we would say, because we find a closer kinsman redeemer in chapter 4 who refuses the right to redeem in case he mars his own inheritance. Boaz could have found ways out. He could have found loopholes. Boaz was not Mahlon's immediate brother. Marriage to a Moabite was illegal in the first place, he might have said. But he doesn't. Why? Because chesed, love, loving kindness, doesn't look for ways out. It doesn't look for loopholes. It looks for ways in. It looks for and desires to give mercy. And the question that chapter 2 is leaving us with is Naomi's hope in Boaz a good one? Is this what Boaz is like? Will he redeem or will he disappoint? Really, this chapter is saying Boaz is able to redeem. He's able to save. And it's very promising. We've seen how kind he is. But the question still remains, is he willing to redeem? And we'll see that as we move forward next time. But for now, Naomi gives Ruth and ourselves good advice in verse 22. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in another field." Don't go anywhere else. Whether if you have questions about his willingness, don't go anywhere else. Go to his field. Now, this is good advice, we say, but you'd say, but isn't that obvious? Why would you go anywhere else after you get a couple of weeks' food and one day's work? Why would you go anywhere else? Why would you want to go to another field? Isn't that exactly what Naomi and Elimelech did all these years before? They went to other fields, the fields of Moab, away from the promised land. But see, friends, how this all throws light upon the greater Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is especially the revelation that Christ is able to redeem that gives hope to the weary soul. Just as Boaz does everything for Ruth, so Christ does everything for his people. He comes from the fields of Bethlehem, like Boaz did, the house of bread, and he gives freely. We lost everything, but he has prepared everything. He is kind. He speaks friendly. He keeps the law perfectly. The law is in his heart. It's the law of kindness and love. He gives over and above, exceeding abundantly above. He holds nothing back. What do you lack this morning? You lack wisdom, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, hope. Christ is the one who has it all. He has it all. And you find this, he is a mighty man of wealth. He is a near kinsman. He has right to redeem by law you. He has right to redeem by law you. That's why we read Hebrews 2. He is the Goel. Had he taken the nature of an angel, he could have been kind to you in a sense, but he could not be a kinsman, one who has the same nature. He could not be a kinsman redeemer, one who can redeem and has right to redeem. But in all things we read, he became like unto his brethren, that he might be the Goel, that he might be merciful, that he might be the faithful high priest. Oh, stay in the field of Boaz. Go to Christ. You'll find everything you need in him. And it will always be a matter of great wonder to God's people. What Naomi says, "Why have I found grace in thy sight? Who am I and what am I? I don't deserve this." Well, none of us ever have. But you will find in the greater than Boaz one who gives what is not deserved. Well, here the sun is rising. Boaz is now well and truly on the scene. He is a kind man. He is a kinsman. He is a kinsman redeemer. He is able to redeem. And the question now is he willing and will he redeem? And we leave you with Naomi's advice, stay in his field. Amen. Let us pray.